This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi, truth in engineering.
Well, Peter Kessler is a golf historian. He's worked at Golf Channel, the PGA Tour Network. He's got the number one podcast in golf with the Peter Kessler Show at revolutiongolf.com. We always like catching up with Peter after a major championship. It's a pleasure to welcome Peter Kessler back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Peter.
It's great to be with you, my friend. I hope you had a great weekend enjoying the golf tournament.
You know, I did. On a lot of levels, there's a lot to discuss. Let's start with the golf tournament. How good do you think Jordan Spieth is?
I think he's good. I mean, I touted him to win this golf tournament because, for a lot of reasons. One was I thought he was playing better golf the last 6 months than anybody else. And his caddy was a caddy at the golf course. You know, he caddied there dozens and dozens of times. He obviously was going to know stuff net that the other guys weren't going to pick up in playing two or three practice rounds, that they had an advantage. And that, you know, Jordan seems to play the bigger stuff really well. And he's more consistent than Rory, who can win and then miss a cut and shoot 80. Jordan doesn't do much of that big number stuff. So I wasn't surprised that he won. But, you know, it's funny that he does win because there's some stuff he doesn't do well. He drives it okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's a much better iron player than he's being given credit for. I don't understand how the stats work in this particular way, because when we watch him play at a golf tournament like the back nine yesterday, except for one wayward shot, I mean, he's hitting everything at the hole. He's not missing greens. I mean, that three wood that he hit in 18 was one of the greatest shots we've ever seen, and nobody really talked about it on the telecast. But, you know, when it really matters, he's able to play his best golf, except for the hiccup on 17, which was inexplicable. But I think he's got the it factor. He knows how to close, and I don't know if that's something that's teachable. And I think that's something that Phil Mickelson said about Jordan Spieth, that he didn't think it was teachable what Jordan has and what, of course, Phil knows that Phil has. But that ability to seize the moment, appreciate what's going on, take responsibility for your own game, as Padraig Harrington has said, and figure out a way to get the job done without getting in your own way. And he seems to be really good at doing that. He doesn't overpower the golf course, so you wonder how great his track record can ultimately be. But so far, he's doing better than advertised.
The history of the game is riddled with players that never come back after doing something like Dustin did. How do you think Dustin will fare after all of this?
Well, he came in with a lot of scar tissue anyway. You know, he's got a history of not closing majors, the business with the bunker up at Whistling Straits, the 82 in the final round of the Open, the 2010 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, that is. You know, he's had some opportunities, and he lets them slip away in the sloppiest manner. I mean, he had this thing all wrapped up with his iron play on the first nine holes. He hit it so much better than everybody on the front nine yesterday. I mean, on the first five holes, he was basically stony. He had 10 feet or less and made one of them, you know. And then the sloppy bogeys he made on 10, 11, 13 mm-hmm. were absolutely out of this world sloppy, and the putting was sloppy. The iron play was scintillating, but he's really sloppy when the going gets tough. You know, and he hit that terrible 9-iron from the middle of the fairway, dead right, made another bogey. I think he'll come back from this because I don't think he'll overanalyze it. because I don't think he's a rocket scientist, and I think that he'll be able to tell himself, okay, I missed the putt, it wasn't that big a deal, and I think he will contend again, and I think he'll have chances to win again, because he falls into that class of not quite bright enough to think of all the things that he should think about this to the point where it starts to bother him intensely. I don't think he goes that deep, and I'm not calling him stupid. I just think that he's more like an athlete who takes the good with the bad, who appreciates there'll be bad moments, and doesn't overreact to them and doesn't necessarily have them sear his soul, as evidenced by the fact that after blowing some majors, here he was with a chance to win another one. So, yes, I think he'll come back.
We are speaking with Peter Kessler, host of the Peter Kessler Show at RevolutionGolf.com. Our mutual friend Gary Player had some things to say about Chambers Bay last week. What did you think about Chambers Bay?
I can't imagine how the recreational player plays Chambers Bay. It's a walking golf course only. It's a 10-mile walk. There's serious elevation change. And it's Bunker City. I've never seen so many bunkers. I've never seen so many large bunkers. I can't imagine, and they're all on the right side, so all the recreational players slice, and all the ground goes from left to right, it appears there. So you've got no chance as a recreational player. And, I mean, look what some of the greatest players in the world were shooting, you know, guys finishing 13 over and 17 over. What's a recreational player going to do, even, you know, when it's softened up for a recreational player's game? And how long would it take to rake one of those bunkers? My goodness, you could be so far deep in them, and they're not waste bank bunkers. They're greenside bunkers that need to be tended after you play your shot, and how long it would take to do that whole process. I just can't imagine it. So from the recreational player side, I can't imagine. From the touring pro side, they were able to generally drive it in places where they could play. The driving was very, very good. I mean, at one point on Sunday, Dustin Johnson hadn't missed a fairway since Friday. So, you know, he went all of Friday afternoon, basically all day Saturday, and a good portion of Sunday before he missed a fairway. And when he did, he made a bogey. But I thought the greens were net goofy. I think there was too much reliance on playing the angles and the caroms, all of which the guys figured out by the time play started on Thursday. There wasn't this huge advantage or disadvantage for playing it a lot or not playing it a lot. They all figured it out as they do every week on every golf course. One round is generally all they need. And it's not like they're going to hit a lot of shots sideways and say, oh, I want to miss 30 yards right. They're not thinking that. They're thinking I'm going to miss it long or short. Nick Faldo said of the 1990 Masters that he never missed a ball left and he never missed a ball right of a green in the whole tournament, including the playoff. So these guys tend to miss it short or long on the green. So they figured out the trouble. But I think the greens, I don't think the greens were as bad as people said in terms of the puttability of them, because guys were making putts. I mean, Louis Oosthuizen birdied 6 of the last 7 holes. You don't do that on rotten greens. They just looked terrible. I think they putted much better than they looked, but you still had to have the right speed when it approached the hole. You couldn't lollygag it from 6 feet and let it wander on up there the way Dustin Johnson was doing. You had to hit them with some authority and not be afraid to have it go to 2.5 feet by, which is how I think Jordan Spieth hits most of his putts, that they have enough energy to get there, but they've got enough energy to get by on the high side, except he's usually on the correct side rather than the high or low side. So I thought the course was fine. I don't think they'll be in a rush to get back there. The spectators couldn't see anything. The journalists were told to stay in the media tent because they wouldn't be able to see anything. So it was good from a TV point of view. I didn't have any trouble with the brown versus green, just that the greens were goofy in their design because each green had about 4 greens in it. But the guys figured out how to do it, and they made – they're so much better than I think we appreciate, because when they showed the shadings on Fox of the way the greens set up, they were really severe, but yet these guys were rolling putts stone dead and not leaving them 8 feet right or 8 feet left. You know, they weren't completely fooled by the greens, and they were able to figure out a way to manage the greens. So the play was really good by the good players. The poor play by good players was evidence that the golf course was very difficult, a lot of false sides, a lot of very difficult pins that if you tried to work it in, you could easily slither across the green into the bunker. So I liked the golf course, not one of my favorites, but I think it gave you a great, great leaderboard and a great champion, and therefore the cream really did rise. And so I think we had a very successful, although the last moment being a disappointing end to the championship.
Before I let you go, you're uniquely qualified to address a variety of topics from last week. What did you think of Fox Sports and their production and their presentation?
I thought it was better than people give him credit for. I mean, Joe Buck's not perfectly suited for golf, but he did okay. Greg was less okay. I think he was more predictable. I think he was very afraid of saying, you know, when I was in a pressure situation, I would do this. I think he was afraid of getting ridiculed. So I think his personality was held in check a little bit. I thought just about everybody else was awful. I could barely hear Corey Pavin, and he didn't have anything interesting to say. They never went to Julie Engster, and she had nothing to say. Kurt Menefee was one of the biggest disasters that ever hit golf television in the history of golf. When he said, and we hope he gets back out on the course sometime tomorrow, I almost fell off my chair, because obviously he was thinking you could go set up your own tee time. And Tom Weisskopf gave him some look and really wanted to crack up when he said that. So he was clueless. I thought Holly Saunders was incredibly bad and looked crazy looking with all that makeup and those outfits they had her with the scoreboards. And, you know, she gets to interview Jordan Spieth for 60 seconds and she says to him, what would you have worn tomorrow? Would you have been out of clothing? Guy just wins the U.S. Open and she asks him about his outfits. So, but I didn't think technically it was too bad, except I couldn't see the golf ball.
Yeah, I know.
I couldn't really see the golf ball when they were showing stuff hitting the greens. I thought it was me. I'm checking my wiping my glasses, but I couldn't see the golf ball. Could you see the golf ball?
No. I think that I spent the weekend trying to find a golf ball on a green. He is,
and I couldn't see the hole. I couldn't see the hole sometimes when the guys were putting.
Well, you certainly couldn't distinguish the green from the collar.
Because there was no collar. Yeah. I mean, in theory, there was a collar, but it was the same height as the green, which is why they had to delineate the green from the collar by using white dots, because you couldn't see with the naked eye.
He is Peter Kessler, host of the Peter Kessler Show at RevolutionGolf.com. I always appreciate it, Peter. Thanks so much for doing this.
Great questions. You're the greatest.